Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
We've grown in most of the areas. I think at that point we weren't really identified as who we are now, you know, and we've grown in a lot of aspects, a lot of more experience up front now, you know, both offensively, defensively, and special teams. So I think we've grown in a lot of places.
That's C.J. Stroud talking about the Houston Texans now versus the Houston Texans in the divisional round of the playoffs, Saturday, 3:30 in Baltimore. I believe the line is still Ravens by 9. I think some books have changed it to Ravens by 7.5, but per mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, still 9 points. The Texans road underdogs. Fun conversation with DJ Bien-Aimé. We were focusing mostly on CJ Stroud versus Lamar Jackson. I do think Stroud is a much better placer of the football than Jackson. I think Stroud's probably more accurate than the majority of quarterbacks in the NFL and puts a touch on his passes that very few can. And we've said before this week on the show, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in Houston that wouldn't put Stroud in the top three conversation at quarterback among all quarterbacks in the league. DJ brought up Lamar Jackson. Jackson's feet are a big difference maker, but as lame as it is, as lazy as he might think it is, I still think he's got to show that he can make it happen in the playoffs. The Ravens have got to score points, and it could have been all Greg Roman, but in the playoffs, things do get a little bit more difficult. I do think that, to DJ's point, Lamar Jackson's feet are a big edge for Lamar Jackson versus every other quarterback outside of maybe Josh Allen, but I would take Stroud over Lamar Jackson at the end of the game. I would probably think twice before picking Stroud eventually over Josh Allen, because while Josh Allen has chutzpah, has legs, has a cannon, Allen makes some dumb decisions from time to time. I think he's made more dumb decisions in a post Brian Daboll world. So I'm picking between these two. Sure, I'm biased. Call me biased all you want. But I think I would be taking Stroud over Josh Allen. And then after that, I don't really know who you can even put in the same conversation with CJ Stroud. Tua is out forever. Out. It's over. We're never talking about him as a top quarterback again. Dak Prescott was out already. We're not doing that again either. I don't care what his numbers were at the end of the game. I'm not doing it with Brock Purdy, even if he was an MVP candidate. He's got tons of weapons there. Unfair weapons compared to every other quarterback in the league. He has Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and at running back, he has Christian McCaffrey. He also has Kyle Shanahan drawing things up. It's not to say I think Purdy sucks. I just would take Stroud, because of his talent, over Brock Purdy. Trevor Lawrence, we've been saying Trevor Lawrence is fraudulent in the way he is portrayed for 2 years. We've been doing this for a while. Who even is in the conversation after that? Matt Stafford? I guess you, if you really want to, you could say Stafford over him, but I'm not going to. I think Stroud's extra mobility gives him an edge over Stafford's incredible toughness.
Yeah, almost too tough.
Stafford allegedly played through a concussion in this game against the Lions. I saw a report about
sure
that today.
Like it.
That is not surprising. Stafford might be the toughest quarterback we've seen in recent NFL.
The NBC cameras caught it, and like you could tell Chris Collinsworth was uncomfortable with
right.
him just staring at getting hit and just like out staring at the ceiling of Ford Field.
But it's
for
the playoffs. I'm
second.
Sorry, you can't take a quarterback off the field due to a concussion in the playoffs, no matter how concussed he actually is. Sorry. Player safety only matters to a certain point. Do not let player safety interrupt theater. For the playoffs, this is the most important show of the year. You gotta suck it up on your broken leg.
Well, another Chris Long reference or mention in this show, but Chris Long was talking about with his brother how it was a veteran move of Matt Stafford because, again, he gets he gets hit. His helmet slams against the turf. He is staring at the Ford Field ceiling for 2 full seconds. And then when he snaps to, he like grabs his shoulder, or he grabs like his ribs. And so he doesn't go into concussion protocol. It's because he got hit in the ribs. And once they were like, oh, his ribs are fine, he'd back out there.
So funny.
Such a veteran move of like, I know I just blacked out. Let me pretend to be hurt somewhere else so they don't check my brain.
He's broken his back a couple of times. He's
dislocated his shoulder.
Elbow, thumb. Yeah. Like, he is a mangled mess at this point in his career. And maybe Lions fans didn't appreciate him enough. But, okay, maybe you can make an argument for Stafford over Stroud. I'm not going to. I'm just not. I think Stroud's got a little extra mobility.
I think the only guys that you can really, like, would, you know, put ahead of Stroud without... Oh, wait, in the playoffs?
Just in totality.
In total, yeah.
We'll go through the playoffs really quickly before we play a little clip.
Yeah, so Mahomes, if you want to put Burrow there,
I will put Burrow there.
Allen, and then Lamar. And then after that, it's like, I would have a hard time. Like, those are the
ones... Especially after this past week.
Those are the ones where if you put them ahead of CJ, like, I'm not going to argue. Like, it's not so extreme of a, you know, they're pretty close. Like you and DJ with Lamar, where it's like, well, Lamar doing the playoffs.
Right.
And for CJ, or for DJ, it's more like, well, here's why it hasn't happened.
I like Lamar a lot as a passer too. If you've been listening, going into this year, I was saying, okay, no Greg Roman. Let's see what happens. Like, I actually was excited for the possibilities of him as a throwing quarterback. It felt like that offense never evolved. There was a problem with the Colin Kaepernick, Greg Roman offense too. Like, you know, forget about all the Kaepernick off the field stuff. Kaepernick never grew in that system. He was awesome for a couple of years, and then everyone kind of figured him out. And that seemed to have happened again with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Greg Roman is very much like the making a quick buck off of a mobile quarterback.
Just like Wade Phillips with defense. Wade Phillips comes in year after he comes in. Defense is great, but it's usually only 1 year. Same thing.
Yes. He was one of the first ones back with Colin Kaepernick to be like, nope, we're just going to use his leg. Yeah. Hey, this guy's super fast. Why don't we call all the college plays that every college team plays or calls when they have fast quarterbacks in the NFL? Because those seem to work. And he did that with the Niners. And then when Lamar gets drafted, he did that with the Ravens. But like you said, it is very much like a boom, I've optimized it for today, and that's it.
Yeah.
But there's no secondary, third move off of that helps these guys develop.
100% on that front. So, okay. As far as the quarterbacks in the NFL, guys that we would take over CJ Stroud, for me, it's just Mahomes and Burrow. I'd hear arguments like Sean for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, but I would still take Stroud over both of those two.
It's crazy there's no one in the NFC that you're like, that were even worth putting up as a mention.
Jalen Hurts did not look like Jalen Hurts this year. Like, running the football, he was weirdly like contact avoidant, if that's this word, a contact afraid, it felt
adverse,
like at times. Yeah. Adverse, yeah, there you go. That's a better way of saying it.
And Jalen Hurts is now kind of in the point where it's, so he had 2 bad years and 1 good year. And the good one was Shane Steichen, who almost took Gardner Minshew to the
playoffs. Eagles quarterback way with Nick Foles the first time he was there, and with Carson Wentz. With Jalen Hurts. Right. And they still hate Donovan McNabb, who was their most consistent quarterback ever. Shout out to Syracuse University. Quarterbacks left in the playoffs. It's Baker Mayfield. You're taking Stroud over him. What's the devil's advocate argument to taking Baker Mayfield over Stroud? I do declare my client here, he was high on smelling salts in this game. He was playing the role of a Florida man in this game. We know that my client Baker may or may not be addicted to nicotine with the Zins that he has in his pocket at practice. Jordan Love, but I can't make an argument with Southern lawyer Paul.
I mean, Jordan Love's playoff numbers were basically the same as Stroud's, and his regular season numbers were very similar, just with more interceptions.
My client, Jordan Love, Pro Football Focus, had a higher grade than C.J. Stroud. We all know that website is more accurate than what your eyes see. Brock Purdy? Well, Brock Purdy has overcome so much in his life, and C.J. Stroud has clearly not overcome much. I listened to the Colin Coward program, and Colin Coward told me that he's somebody that has granite countertops and a BMW, even though his father was in prison. And Brock Purdy, he was Mr. Irrelevant, I do declare. Jared Goff. Well, considering what Jared Goff has done, considering he does not know where the sun sets, I believe that what Jared Goff has done with his body is significantly better than that of a C.J. Stroud. Now, you may argue that C.J. Stroud's S2 test and the time that he said that I'm here to play football, not to learn, would argue that he is on a similar level of by-the-book intelligence as my client, Mr. Goff. But Mr. Goff has overcome so much. So you have to make a devil's advocate argument for all of those guys.
Funny, all the NFC quarterbacks, they're like, man, what an underdog story. And then all the AFC quarterbacks are the four best quarterbacks in
Pretty
the
much,
league.
Right. That's how it goes. All right. Paul Galan Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's more praise for C.J. Stroud that I do want to play before we get out of here. It's clear that players respect him more than – I would say the average fan that's watched football this year, and you'll hear more of that. We go around the NFL. We got soft boys at 11:30. Stick around. It's the Paul Galan Show.
ESPN, 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-Minute Drill with Paul Galan.
Football time.
Colts linebackers Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed saw CJ Stroud eliminate them a couple of Saturdays ago. And they are so complimentary of CJ Stroud. We hope CJ Stroud doesn't hear this. We don't want him to eat the rat poison. But if you hear players talk about another player like this, I think it really goes to show you where this guy ranks among NFL quarterbacks and how special CJ Stroud is.
He For won't sure. even be looking at the read, and then you know he got about one more look before it get ugly for him. And then he look at your guy and you didn't plaster like, got your ass. And then this motherfucker look somewhere else and throw the ball for a completion. You like, nah.
That's what I like about CJ the
That's
most.
That's your third read. You know how degrading that is for a quarterback to hit his third read?
CJ don't play the rookie games, bro. I peeped that the first time we played him, though. Like, he don't do rookie shit. Like, he play, like, he already lying to you with his eyes. He already lying to you with his drop. He already lying to you with his shoulder movements and little shit like that. That's some shit that you ain't supposed to really have till like year 6, 7, buddy. Okay. Whoever your trainer is, slow down, gang. Doing too much.
That last part. Slow down, buddy. Slow down, gang. If you're that respected by players already, it's clear that you're really special. And, I mean, there's an element of luck that goes into every single NFL draft. For the Texans to luck into this guy at number 2, it's great. Sometimes you luck into a guy with the last pick of the draft. I guess you could make that argument for the 49ers with Brock Purdy, or in the 6th round with Tom Brady for the Patriots. But, yeah, the Texans got lucky here, and I suppose you can hold that against them, but I'm not. I'm happy that this team finally got a just smidgen of luck. It's been a rough couple of years.
Yeah, it's no matter what, like whether you're drafting quarterback, it is a lot of like
you're rolling the dice.
Well, I like these things, don't like these things. It's the best you can do is like an educated guess, where it's like, you know what, I don't think that a tiny quarterback like Bryce Young will work out, but I don't know, it might. Like, everyone has a knock on them. Everyone has pluses and minuses, and it's just like, Tom Brady, 199. Sure, let's take him. Oh, greatest quarterback of all time. Cool.
But people want those high draft picks because they think they're going to get the next quarterback, and it's almost always loser fan bases who are the ones pushing for this. I was listening to Boston Sports Radio yesterday because now all of a sudden the Patriots are in that conversation, and one of my favorite hosts in the country, Michael Felger, was saying, yeah, the people that are rooting for this are losers. This is essentially a reflection that your organization is bad, and guess what? The quarterback you draft is probably going to suck. I usually say the rookie quarterback probably not the guy. He said, probably going to suck, which isn't that inaccurate. It's not.
Yeah.
Take a look at some of the top quarterbacks taken over the years, like a Marcus Mariota or, you know, those quarterbacks that were taken in 2011, not named Cam Newton. There's lots of quarterbacks out there that are taken early that stink, and you got the good one.
Although all or seven of the eight remaining quarterbacks were first-round picks.
That is true.
And the other one is Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy is the other one.
The rest of them, though, first round.
Mayfield, first overall. Jordan Love towards the back. Patrick Mahomes, 10th. Lamar Jackson, I think last pick
last
of the first
pick
round.
Of the first round.
Josh Allen, I believe.
7th, 9th.
Jared Goff, first overall. Yeah. Matt Stafford, he's eliminated. CJ Stroud, second
He was
overall.
Also the first pick in the draft.
Was the first overall pick, though.
And he lost to Jared Goff, who was the first pick in the draft.
That's true. King of Detroit. Jared Goff. Is this a shot by Kyle Shanahan at Dan Quinn? Kyle Shanahan was asked about preparation for Green Bay. Here's what he had to say.
Started really focusing on him halfway through the second quarter.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I thought it was funny. I think it's some self-awareness, but some are interpreting it as a shot at Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. I'm not going to go that far.
People are so, like, looking for a shot at someone. He should have been like, well, when it was 27-0, I had a good idea who's going to win.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. The game seemed over. They scored the touchdown right before halftime, but I don't think many people actually thought, even the most diehard Cowboys fans, that they were going to come back and win that one, even if Jimmy Johnson gave that speech at halftime.
I will say, after the Jimmy Johnson speech, I was like, I kind of hope they're showing Fox in the Cowboys locker room right now. Whatever.
Not Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, whatever Mike McCarthy is saying is worse than what Jimmy Johnson said to America on TV.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't think the Packers were in much danger of getting 28-3, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The thing with the Patriots 28-3 comeback, they kind of had the greatest player of all time, the greatest coach of all time on their side.
And
they got not lucky, but pretty. They had all the breaks.
They had a lot
break their way.
They had a lot of breaks. All right. Continuing to go around the NFL. Did you see what Jaguars fans got as an email? So, per a Jaguars fan, TIAA Bank Field sent out a mass email to, I believe, Jaguars season ticket holders, saying, thank you for attending Jacksonville Jaguars AFC wildcard game. And then they asked for feedback for their experience at TIAA Bank Field. Oh, boy. Jaguars fans really going through it.
That was probably
a scheduled email, I think.
They
yes.
forgot to take it off the schedule.
Whoops.
Yeah.
That happens.
That's bad. It's not good. It's normally, you only get the embarrassment when, you know, three games. I saw the Texans did this. We're like, I think it was like with three or four games left, they tweet out like, or email out, get your playoff tickets. And then like the Texans, even in the email, were like, this is a required email by the league to say, like, to prepare you guys to buy tickets. And normally that's the only embarrassment you get when you say, buy the wild card game tickets, and then you don't make the playoffs. To do it on the back end, too, that's pretty bad.
The back end is as bad as it gets. And I mean,
that's like an extra.
Jaguars fans already think that the team's moving to London, and they know that Trevor Lawrence is not the guy, at least the guy that they thought they were getting. No. That's a rough offseason for the Jaguars. You hate to see it. Actually, I don't. Jaguars fans are on my bleep list. Kiss my ass. You guys were so wrong about Trevor Lawrence. Paul was right. You should all apologize.
Who's better, Anthony Richardson or Trevor Lawrence?
Anthony Richardson. It's not close, in my opinion. Paul, you're basically off of two quarters. Yeah. Yeah.
He's gotten hurt in like three of his four NFL
games. Yeah, but those
games.
Two quarters against the Texans, like the greatest two quarters I've ever, or excuse me, two drives against the Texans.
Yeah, it was even
two greatest drives I've ever seen. All right. Todd Bowles was asked a very, very interesting question by a Tampa Bay Buccaneers reporter. I'm hoping this is just someone from the local news about the Bucs playing in Detroit.
Coach, looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams today. It's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures we've seen it drop to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? They got a dome. No, nothing planned. We're indoors, and we only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus, going under the thing, so we'll be okay.
Bowles was very polite with how he handled that. I guarantee you what happened here is a TV reporter got sent out here, and they felt very confident in their ability to show that they belong. Because news people look down on sports people, especially in the television game. I know the ins and outs of this industry. As an ex-TV guy myself. But that is 100% what happened. And yeah, she got exposed.
Yeah. That it was hard for me to... Yeah, because I saw the, you know, the headline. It was hard for me to, like, actually sit down and watch it. It was like an office, like, thing. Like,
especially the question just goes on and on.
It's such a long question.
Like, oh, no, because you know what's coming.
It is, like, something from the show The Office, where it's just, like, it is just so cringeworthy to watch. Like, watch Todd Bowles be like, you know they play inside, right? Like,
so, an example that almost happened to me. The first Seahawks press conference I ever went to, I read on the email that the first person to come out was, I believe, Bobby Wagner. I had never seen Bobby Wagner's face before. This was literally days after I'd moved here, and I was still trying to learn the Seahawks. I just knew he was number 54. So this guy comes out, and I'm like, oh, okay, he looks like he's a linebacker. And I almost asked him a question, but I sat back. And as the interview went on, I was like, wait a second, that's not Bobby Wagner. That's not Bobby Wagner.
Googling it on the phone.
I eventually did Google it. And I was like, oh God, that's not Bobby Wagner. So thank God I didn't ask anything. I would never have lived that down. Barely lived anything down in Seattle.
Do you know who it was?
Bradley McDougal. He was a safety. So even worse. Hey, to wrap things up, speaking of Seattle, the Seahawks are the latest to make an interview request of Bobby Slowick joining the Panthers, Commanders, and Titans. So he might be elsewhere. Also, Bobby Slowick worked at PFF. Do you think that he and CJ Stroud maybe are having some disagreements now? Like, what if CJ Stroud finds out that Bobby Slowick used to work at PFF and PFF keeps dogging CJ Stroud? What's going to happen there?
It's like, hey, answer for your friend. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, he's not my friend. We're coworkers, really.
This is the if this was something that became a thing, it would be like the plot line in just about every single rom-com with about 15 minutes left. There's always that twist of like, wait a second, what?
Wait, you only dated me on a dare?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then like 10 minutes later, it's all fine at the end. And they...
You lost a bet and asked me out to prom?
Right. Yeah, like she's all that.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's one of that is actually from one of
the best part of that one. She's all that, like, not another teen movie makes fun of that. They just take her glasses off. Like, she was smoking hot, like banging, and they're like, oh, her glasses. She wears overalls. She's got paint on. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Who has been soft this week? Like, you know, the show that's on after us. Were the Killer Bees at work yesterday? Did they show up either? We don't know. But we showed up. We walked to work yesterday. Yeah, Sean, you walked to work too. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Who's soft? We'll talk about it next.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
That time of the week, you tell us who you think has been soft. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Time for Soft Boys.
Soft Boys.
soft boys, in a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch. Done in honor of Ime Udoka calling LeBron James a soft-ass boy for bitching during a Rockets-Lakers game this year. Already some nominations. Someone texts in, Mike McCarthy's gut is soft. That is true. The Dallas Cowboys. Yes, that performance, soft. The Miami Dolphins. Oh, very soft. They can't help it, though. They've got those candy-ass uniforms, and it's like a modern take on those candy-ass uniforms that they wore back in the day. Like, at least the old ones look good. Another person texts in, John McClain. I'm not going to go with John McClain. I think that John McClain was iron sharpening iron in the middle of that Texans-Browns game on Saturday by reminding Texans fans that, hey, the Oilers blew a huge lead. Now, that is Titans history.
Yeah, it wasn't relevant.
Not Texans history, but no, he's just throwing a curveball at everybody to make sure that they're focused for all 60 minutes. Can't let up. Can't let up. So I disagree, but it was very vintage McClain to troll in the middle of the greatest Houston playoff performance probably ever.
Yeah.
Really, that was probably their best NFL playoff performance ever. I'm too lazy to look through the Oilers' history. It definitely was the best Texans playoff win ever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wasn't even thinking about the Oilers. Yeah, no. It was definitely the best Texans and probably the best Titans one, too.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. Soft-ass boys, we have to bring the ultimate Cleveland sports show back into the picture. For those who don't know, this is this show that has pretty good television production that features former SportsCenter anchor Jay Everett. It also features this guy named Garrett Bush, who is a Deshaun Watson, didn't do anything truther. But there's this other guy who sort of looks like the coach in Letterkenny, who offered another take about how the Texans may have been cheating Saturday night at NRG Stadium.
They probably beat
another
Texas,
thing though. That surprised me, the Texans crowd was a lot better. And you know what?
I'm not so sure that there wasn't some help with
that. Oh, do you think they were piping sound in?
I'm not so sure there wasn't some help.
I've been in stadiums, by the way, where I've wondered that. I'm like, I'm sitting here, and it doesn't feel like this is generating that.
Really? Being in that stadium, let
me
tell you.
Wow, that's really interesting.
That's not allowed?
No, it's not. Oh, you're not allowed to pump in artificial noise.
I'm just saying.
Music, yes. It has to stop when the quarterback breaks
the huddle. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of empty seats in that stadium.
Were there really?
Yes. It's embarrassing. Yes. There was a lot.
I want an investigation.
Your former state is a complete embarrassment.
We're going to have Jonathan Wells on in about 45 minutes. So.
Oh, he's coming on?
We are?
Oh. To take a victory lap. He texted me.
Said if we'll have him back Monday expecting
yeah.
to
yeah, but he,
take
well,
a well, I was going to give Wells credit because he said, listen, they're going to be turned up for the game. There's not a lot of buzz right now, but they're going to be turned up. I saw what the tickets were going for on the resale market. It was a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
There was not the interest there.
The lower bowl was packed, but like the middle row and the uppers, there were a lot of empty seats.
So then that – listen, your theory, I think, might have some credence to it because at home, I a number of times said, damn, this crowd is bringing it. I underestimated their fans.
Zach and I looked at each other early on. We're like, and Zach was the first one that said, there's no way this crowd's making that noise. There's no way.
That's really disappointing.
I'm just saying, I know it's
riding the levels,
I know it's illegal and it's against the rules. And nobody in the NFL ever cheated before.
Here's the new rule. Ready?
What's the new rule, Jay? What's the new rule? Well, I got to say, this is pretty lame to throw that accusation out there by saying, I'm not so sure. I'm just saying. Then saying it's embarrassing what the tickets were going for in the resale market. Look, here's the thing. Like, we are waiting for a reason to get back in. And like the Houston Texans, we're not effing losers like people in Cleveland who are still addicted to the Browns despite them being an absolute god-awful dog bleep franchise. That also left them. Well, I guess it was stolen from them. We're different. We have things to do here. And also things are just cheaper here in Houston. But you're throwing that out there and your basis for saying that they might have been pumping in crowd noises. I'm not so sure. I'm just saying. Can we get Tony Busby on the case? A little sue for actual malice libel? to say the Texans were pumping in crowd noise? F it. Let's sue these people. Can I get a cut as a person who recommends this to Tony Busby or Rusty Harden? We got lawyers.
Hell, Binder's feet.
How about we... Right, Sean. How about we throw it to Ted Cruz, who did not go to this Texans game? Was he at the Cowboys game? I bet he was at the Cowboys game. But he didn't go to the Texans game. Let's throw Ted Cruz, legendary trial lawyer, a bone. Somebody go out there. Like, sue this show for actual malice. I think you can prove it. They're clearly bitter that the Browns lost to the Texans. They're sad that people in Houston don't seem to care as much about a superior football product to anything the Cleveland Browns have ever had since their re-entry into the NFL. They're mad that Baker Mayfield is on to the next round of the playoffs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why not? Sue them. Let's make some money. Sean and I get a finder's fee. $10,000 each.
Do you think that, what was it, Ultimate?
Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show.
Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Do you think they have, do you think we're going to be able to get a lot of money out of them?
Who cares? Let's just see. Okay. Let's just see what happens. Okay. Honestly, Rusty Harden, not Rusty Harden, my bad. Tony Busby could probably, if you really wanted to be an absolute weasel of a lawyer, get all the people that sued Deshaun Watson to sue these guys, too.
Yeah.
He's got their numbers.
If you're at the Texans game, they're being libelous.
They're being libelous about you, right. They're saying that your crowd noise was artificial. And the other thing is, the guy who wasn't there, Garrett Bush, who is the guy that basically was acting like all the Deshaun Watson accusations were BS. Like, you could also sue that guy, too. Libel. Actual malice. Anyway, Soft Boys continues. More Soft Boys? The rest of the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 hosts who did not come in to work yesterday with their fancy home studios. That's Michael Connor. That's Josh Beard. That's Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank came in, not a soft boy. John and Lance came in. They drove in the early morning. Dell came in the early morning. Andrew Carlson came in. But not everybody is competing at a high level with the Houston Texans going to play the Baltimore Ravens Saturday in frigid Baltimore. Guess who walked to work yesterday? I did. So there you go. We might have some more soft boy nominations before we get to garbage time, because I have some questions about accusations made by this player's significant other about a crowd. It doesn't have to do with pumped-in crowd noise. First, though, I have to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, it's barrel-aged in American oak, cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood for an uncommonly smooth, rich taste and complex flavor. Pendleton Whiskey. It honors a heritage that inspires us to live boldly and never lose sight of the values we believe in and taste the moment wherever we may be. Steeped in true Western tradition. This is something that started back with the Pendleton Roundup 100 years ago. And guess what? Pendleton Roundup, a little rodeo you can catch there. The PBR is coming to the Toyota Center January 26th and 27th. Visit PBR.com for tickets, because guess what? Pendleton Whiskey is the official whiskey of the PBR Tour, the world's premier bull riding organization. When I watched the football game on Saturday, I'm going to have my usual go-to drink game day. Pendleton, one rock, two fingers, smooth, refreshing, great stuff. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. You're getting a nice bluish hue.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
When Sean McVay was up here, he said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot through their time together. You've been here in Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just how do you feel about the city of Detroit? No.
I'm happy for the players. Happy for those guys.
Shots fired? That's Matt Stafford after his Rams lost to his ex, the Lions, on Sunday. Why did he say that he was happy for the players and not the fans? I think I know why. I think it has to do with his wifey, Kelly Stafford, who seems like a ride or die, but also may have exaggerated a little bit about things that allegedly happened to her on Sunday. She accused Lions fans of booing her children. I gotta say, right away, I'm pretty skeptical that any fan base outside of Philadelphia, Philadelphia's in hot water because a guy threw popcorn at Nick Sirianni at a Bucks game. Did Bucks security remove him in time? I don't know. Looks like he might have gotten away. But Kelly Stafford is accusing Lions fans of booing her kids. I'm sorry. I don't think Lions fans would stoop anywhere close to that low. And I watched the replay. I barely even heard booing of Kelly Stafford as she walked onto the field with her kids. Here's what Kelly said on her Instagram story on Monday, who didn't understand why she was being so positive towards the Lions following the game. It's sports. The city wants to win. Everything is fair game, except the fans who booed my children. Other than that, I love the atmosphere, and the booing gave my husband more fire. The more you love, the more you hate. I consider it all love going both ways. But booing the kids, I'm sorry. No, that just doesn't happen. They see you, they might boo you. I doubt many people knew who you were on the sideline. Some people did, but I think Kelly Stafford is one, overestimating her celebrity, and two, talking out of her ass saying that they were booing her kids, trying to gain some sympathy points online, because we all know it's very easy to get online sympathy if you are a bullied, attractive person, which is ironic because an attractive person getting bullied on social media? Wait, what? That's actually possible? So Kelly Stafford on her own podcast basically backtracked those comments about her children getting booed. Here is the wife, the first lady of the Los Angeles Rams, Kelly Stafford.
I will say one thing. We're not playing the game. My girls and I are not playing the game. And you can, and I know that they're, my girls are not getting booed. I am. And I can handle it.
Yeah.
But when I have my girls next to me, there's something to be said of like, maybe not.
No, I take the kids 1,000%.
Stop.
I love that she has a podcast. A, I love that she has a podcast.
She does.
B, I like how she has a co-host that isn't Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. It's just another person.
It's a random person. And look, she's had some good moments in the past, like the time that one person, like, there was somebody who was, I think, taking a picture of Matt Stafford, and then they fell off of a ledge. And Stafford just like got up and walked away. And Kelly Stafford was the first one on the scene to help this poor photographer out. And Stafford kind of looked like a douche nozzle in that moment. But, and again, like, what are you supposed to do if you're a quarterback? You're supposed to do CPR on somebody who just like broke their leg trying to take a picture of you. Like, there's nothing you could really do there. But he got a lot of crap for that. And she was first on the scene. And she seems like a real ride or die. Hey, supportive wives are great. I love it. But don't make stuff up about what fans are doing. And we've seen this a couple of times this year. Remember that one person, Patriots slash Chiefs fan who was wearing a Taylor Swift jacket, who was making up stuff, I imagine, about Patriots fans booing her at Gillette Stadium? No, they were booing Taylor Swift because Patriots fans are miserable right now. And seeing Taylor Swift in a club seat when it's pouring rain outside while you're watching the Patriots get their ass kicked by the Chiefs, yeah, you're going to boo her. But they don't know what the heiress jacket is. No man knows any of this stuff about Taylor. We just know that the music's pretty catchy. But there's been a lot of this year, like people like making false claims of getting harassed at sporting events and their kids getting harassed and bringing up their families to make you feel bad for them. Like Russell Westbrook bringing up his son.
Oh, I can't believe you heard Westbrook.
Well, it's actually pretty catchy. Roast. It's getting too far, and it's weird that we tend to immediately believe the celebrities making these accusations without actually any proof. And I saw the video that alleges that Kelly Stafford and her kids were getting booed. I barely heard any boos, and it was not boos directed at her kids.
It is funny that I would believe it more because the I believe that more Lions fans know who Kelly Stafford is than people in Los Angeles.
I would agree with you there.
I think she is more.
She's just another blonde in LA.
She's more famous in Detroit. So if any other stadium would be able to like clock who is Kelly Stafford and her kids, it would only be Detroit. It's the only stadium. Not even the home team would be able to clock it like that.
You're probably right.
It was an emotional night for Detroit.
100%.
It was an emotional night.
I
They're kind of like Browns fans.
They're
lashing out all over the place.
Hey, and in defense of any Lions fan who might have booed Matt Stafford, I mean, there were commercials after Matt Stafford got traded and won the Super Bowl about like how like, oh yeah, I left for a better situation. Like, imagine having that rubbed in your face when the organization had the start that they had to the year right after Stafford left. Like they were awful.
They've been
bad forever.
They're the Lions. Like, right. We don't have to act like they weren't a worse situation than the Rams.
And there were AT&T commercials where it was celebrating like Stafford leaving for like a better situation and like having his cake and eating it too. And it was like, well, the Lions didn't get to have cake. The Lions saw him win elsewhere and were probably thinking about throwing a parade for the Rams after they won the Super Bowl. Like, how depressing is that? Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, time for Garbage Time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
You know, it wasn't that long ago in Garbage Time that we played James Dolan's musical number from JD and the Straight Shot. I Should Have Known. It's a song where, without mentioning names, he sings about how he should have known what Harvey Weinstein was doing. But via Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, a Woj bomb, James Dolan, Harvey Weinstein, deny accusations of sexual assault. I think for old time's sake, Sean, that we should play a song that should be stuck in everybody's head by JD in the Straight Shot about James Dolan's troubled friend, Harvey Weinstein. And honestly, any
we
good
were
lawyer,
friends, we were friends, talk for hours without
you're going to bring this audio up
about his latest story, how to deal with fame and glory.
Yeah.
All the girls who adored him.
I mean, Dolan's guilty.
Catered to his every whim.
Dolan sang a song about knowing like he's guilty by accomplice, right?
Yeah, he's basically being like, I should have known.
I don't know. I think he did know now.
Harvey Weinstein and I, we were together all the time. But no, we definitely did not do that stuff together.
Any good lawyer, bring this up in court. It's over.
Tony Busby would bring this up.
He would. Tony Busby would. Now he's focusing on trial law again. Ted Cruz? Come on. Let's bring Texas's big guns out. Knicks fans would probably build a statue for whatever lawyer would bring this piece of evidence into court to get James Dolan out. Also, remember when we talked about Jim Irsay, about how like he had to cancel that appearance for music? Well, I guess per TMZ, in December, Irsay was found blue and unresponsive after a suspected drug overdose. December 8th, around 4:30 a.m. Good God. Hope the guy's okay. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Owners doing owner things. How about that? Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to DJ Bien-Aimé. Check out the podcast of our hangout, hour one. Got very, very feisty. For our texters, twitchers, and tweeters, I am really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace!
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!